Erev Tov, Morabe Rabotai. Tonight is a very, very special, auspicious, and fateful night. It is this day exactly 7 years ago that the Rosh El Olam, the Gdol Ador, was taken from among us, and the Jewish nation as we know it was thrown into sadness, mourning, turmoil, confusion, and that really never dissipated. You know, all of us are going to be able, Be'ezat Hashem, if you already have children and grandchildren, that's wonderful, and for those of us who don't yet, Be'ezat Hashem, when you do, you will be able to tell your children and your grandchildren that you lived in the generation of Maran HaYavi HaOmer. Certain names in Jewish history become synonymous with greatness, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, like the Rambam, like Rashi, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Ben Ish Chai. We have one of those names and we were zoche, where they're not, you know, we took advantage of it to the best of our capabilities is a different story, but we had the zechut to live even if we learned nothing from him, which obviously we did, but even if we didn't, just to live in a generation where Maran Rabbeinu Ovadia Yosef ben Gurjia, Zecher Tzadik Libracha, was at the helm of leadership is a zechut in and of itself. Rabotai, I can go on and speak until the wee hours of the morning discussing his greatness in Torah, but no matter what I would say, wouldn't do justice to it. Suffice it to say that the greatest Gaonim, the greatest Torah scholars and luminaries of the generation trembled before Maran Zichrono Livracha. His acumen, his expertise, his erudition of Torah knowledge was something that was unparalleled in this generation and almost unprecedented. Some of the greatest luminaries would refuse to render any halachic decision until Maran Zichrono Livracha signed off on it. His works speak for themselves. He used to say, you know, very few people can actually call themselves actual Talmidim of Maran Zichrono Livracha, because most of the time he wasn't in a Rebbe Talmid capacity. He was more to himself, writing, teaching, but not on the Rebbe Talmud level necessarily. So there are very few people that can claim that. But he would always say that if you want to be my Talmid, learn my Sfarim. Anybody who learns my Sfarim becomes my Talmid. So in essence, there's not one person in the Jewish world today, needless to say, the Sephardic Jewish world, that hasn't been touched, whose life hasn't been impacted by the teachings of Maran Zichrono Livracha, throughout his Sfarim, his Psakim, you know, his legendary and trailblazing, you know, rulings that brought so much light to the world. But besides for his Torah erudition, what's many times less spoken about and has become Baruch Hashem more spoken about since his passing was his persona, his humanity, his love and affection for all fellow Jews. I remember once when I was in Kollel, I still am very good friends with one of his closest grandsons, Agaon Rabbi Yaakov Sasson Shlita, my peer. He's a friend of mine, and we worked together on the Halacha Yomit. So he told me once that he was editing one of Maran Zichrono Livracha's Sfarim. And in that Sefer, Maran Zichrono Livracha had quoted a person, another Talmid Chacham of the generation, who you can't really call him anything but an adversary. He had a bone to pick with Maran Zichrono Livracha's entire life, and he was very vocal about it, and he very commonly disrespected him in public. And there he was, Maran Zichrono Livracha quoted this individual in something that he was writing about on Hilchot Avilut. This is, I'm obviously not going to say it in a public forum, but for the Talmidim, I can tell you exactly where it is in Chazon Ovadia avilut chelek bet. I'm not going to tell you what that. But anyway, so there he was. His name was on the paper. And Agon Rabbi Yaakov Sasson, his grandson, he says, Saba, why would you quote this person? Don't you know what he says about you, especially in public? Don't you know what he does to you? Don't you know that you are not, you know, even halachically, you guys are on two different planets. Why in the world would you quote him? So Maran Zichron Baruch Hayin is characteristic, you know, good humor and goodwill. He says, you know what? He says, give me back the papers. The papers that he was typing, the way he would do, he would write. He had a typesetter who would type it up, and then Talmidim would go through it, would edit it, and then he would take it back and, you know, look it over. So he took it back, and he says, you're right. So what did he do? He took it back. He scribbled something on the paper, and to Rav Sasson, his grandson, he thought that he crossed his name out after he had made that comment. He says, okay, I got it. He gave it back to him. He looks at the paper, and before it said on this, by the person's name, it said a title, Harav Gaon Rabbi Ploni Shlita. And then after this comment, he had added in, he put like a little arrow, and he put in Harav Gaon HaMkubal Rabbi Ploni. When his grandson told him that this person was Rodefoto, and he said all sorts of things about him, and he did all sorts of things about him, he says, that's exactly why he deserves another title. I'm not going to delete him from my sefer. That's the way of the Torah. And, you know, the stories go on and on. I could tell you anecdotes from here until, you know, I'm blue in the face. But there's one thing that was, you know, betzipor nafsho, the lifeblood of Maran Zichrono Livracha, and his, you know, is actually something very, very interesting today. Min Shemaya, Kazachinu, in today's daf, in Masechet Eruvin, daf Ayin Bet, the Gemara had brought down, and it's not in many places. It's only in select places in Shas, but in today's daf, Eruvin daf Ayin Bet Amud Bet, the Gemara quoted Maran Zichrono Livracha's famous slogan, Kocha De'etera Adif. I found it very, very apropos that it was in today's daf. Nathan, you remember who we speak about when we say Kocha De'etera Adif? Who does the Gemara usually speak about in terms of?
Rabbi Yehuda.
No, Bet Hillel. Always Bet Hillel. Kocha De'etera Adif, the Gemara says in Betzad Avet Amud Bet, and the Gemara says it again, different places, but Eruvin Ayin Bet Amud Bet. So today was flagship Maran Zichrono Livracha. That was like, I took it as a sign from heaven. Hashem was happy with our learning. So, Mikol Makom, Maran Zichrono Livracha was known. His love for his fellow Jew was legendary. But as much as he loved his fellow Jew, there was a group of Jews that he could not help but love even more than your run-of-the-mill Jew, which was Bnei Torah. I experienced this and I observed this many times, that when Maran Zichrono Livracha was in the presence of Talmidei Chachamim, Avrechim, and Bnei Yeshivot, you know, anybody who was a Ben Torah, his face would light up. He loved them tremendously. It brought him such nachat to know that there were people who were toiling in Torah. Now, mind you, this was a person, I don't know if you know a little bit of history, especially about the history of Sephardic Jewry. In the early days of the establishment of the modern state of Israel, the state of, or, you know, the state of the union of the Sephardic Jewry was not the best. When they had come, when they had emigrated to Israel from all of their different countries, you know, from Iraq and Iran and Morocco and Tunisia and Egypt and all of the other places that the Sfaradim came from. So they didn't have a lot of Talmidei Chachamim at the time. There were, but they were few and far between. Yeshivot man dechar shemayu. There was only one Sephardic yeshiva in the entire country, and that was Porat Yosef, which was established by the Ben Ish Chai Alav Hashalom. And, you know, needless to say, the way that people used to relate to the Sfaradim were like, you know, very simple people, nice people, Yireh Shamayim, good hearts, Emunah Pshuta. Everybody, Sfaradim are legendary for the Emunah. But the Torah knowledge and maybe adherence to Torah and Mitzvot was not necessarily the strong point at the time of the Sfaradim. And one man single-handedly changed all of that, Ledorot, La'ad ul'olmei olamim. And he took the, you know, the morale also of the Sfaradim at the time was not very high. They didn't feel that good about themselves. But he was able to lift an entire generation's me'ashpot yerim evyon. He was able to take them out of the dumps. And another one of his famous slogans was lehachzir atara liyoshna, not only in the halachic sense of reinstating the rulings of Maran HaShulchan Aruch, but also in the figurative sense of bringing back the kavod, the pride of the Sfaradim, the self-respect of the Sfaradim, gave them confidence, made an entire generation, took people from nothing and taught them Torah from Aleph Bet to the deepest things in Torah, and handcrafted Talmidim who would then teach more Talmidim and more Talmidim. Today, statistically, Rabotai, I read this not long ago, Yishtabach Shemo, not that it's a race or anything. Statistically, there are more Bnei Yeshivot Sfaradim in Eretz Yisrael than Ashkenazim. It's an amazing thing. Something that, you know, only about 50 or 60 years ago seemed impossible. One man did it. And like I started off by saying, there's not one person who's listening or will listen to this who has not been impacted by the life and the legacy of Maran Zichrono Livracha. Everybody, whether it's his psakim or, you know, his warmth, the warmth that he gave off, the talmidim that he put out. Baruch Hashem, there's not one country in the world that you can go today, Be'arbakan Fota'aretz, that you can't find the talmid of Maran Zichrono Livracha, his sfarim, his teachings, his principles, his legacy. It's all one man. If there was one thing that he demanded from his Talmidim all the time, was learn Torah, limod al minat lelamid. Never be complacent, never be happy and satisfied to learn only for yourself. He always pushed the Talmidim, go teach others. And he himself led by example until his old age. I don't know if many of you might be old enough to remember, Maran Zichrono Livracha in Chodesh Elul especially, he used to go from city to city, from shul to shul, in Eretz Sender in Chodesh Elul especially, by helicopter, north, south, east, west. He used to come home like 3 a.m. and then learn for the rest of the morning until the tefillah. He had a crazy schedule, and he would go to the ends of the earth to be Marbitz Torah. Nothing in the world brought him more satisfaction than teaching Torah to Am Yisrael. That was what he lived for. And that's what got his adrenaline pumping. And if there's one thing that he demanded from his Talmidim, or anybody he thought learned anything from him, it's that he expected them to do the same. Especially for Bnei Torah. Those who learn on a constant basis, which we are all obligated to be kovei aitim laTorah, not to keep that sequestered in ourselves, but to bring it to other people, to teach other people, to bring them the beauty of Torah. He was able to melt even the toughest, brutest of people with his love and his affection and his, you know, shining character, and to bring the beauty of the Torah to everybody. I heard once, I'm also a very big fan of another one of the Gdolei Ador. Everybody should be fans, but Yibadel Lechaim Lechaim, Hagaon Rabbi Meir Mazuz Shelita, the Rosh Hashiva of Kiseh Rachamim, also one of the Gaonei Ador. So he said, he was younger, I think he was in his late 20s or early 30s, when his father was assassinated. His father was the Ish Matzliach. He was assassinated in Tunisia. And right afterwards, he and his two brothers made Aliyah from Tunisia to Israel. So when they first came to Israel, he didn't yet live in Bnei Brak. He lived in a suburb on the outskirts of Bnei Brak called Pardes Katz. That's the name of the place. And he used to live there. And at the time, there weren't a lot of yeshivot and whatever. Maran Zichrono Livracha used to give a shiur in Bnei Brak. It wasn't a Motzei Shabbat. It was one of the other nights of the week at the time. And a Gaon Rav Mazuz, who himself was a tremendous Gaon Batura at that point, he heard a lot about this person, about Maran Zichrono Livracha, and he said, you know what, let me go to Bnei Brak, which is nearby, to hear a shiurim. After the first shiur he heard from Maran Zichrono Livracha, he came home, and he said this about himself. His Rebbetzin saw that he was in like a daze. He was like in a different dimension. So she asked him, what happened? She said, he told her, I don't understand. He said, I went to a shiur of a certain Rav today. I guess they were just new Olim, so they had heard about Rav Ovadia Yosef. So he says, I don't understand why they don't take this Rav to the cemetery. She asked him, what are you talking about? He says, you don't understand. He speaks so unbelievably, with such sweetness, depth, oratory skills. What an unbelievable speaker. They should take him to the cemetery and just bekoach diburo yubi mechayem etim. That's what he told his wife. It's a tremendous thing. And he wrote the way he spoke, and he spoke the way he wrote. Very few people have a gift to have such oratory skills and writing skills. It's two very, very different departments, even in the brain. But he was a master. He was a jack of all trades. He was a master in everything he touched. But that was because of his limitless Ahavat Yisrael. Hagaon Chatam Sofer writes the Gemaran Brachot that speaks about the Hasidim Arishonim, the earlier Hasidim, who would pray for 9 out of the 12 hours of the day. So the Gemara asks, if they would pray for so long, Milachtam Matei Aleha V'Toratam Matei Aleha, what's going to be with their Torah? So the Gemara answers that since they're Hasidim, Mishtamere Talmudam, right? Their Torah would be preserved. What does that mean? Says the Gaon Chatam Sofer, when a person prays, and he actually takes this to another dimension, but when a person is Mizakeh Rabim, he actually asks this in next week's parasha, in his drashot, Torat Moshe, he says, Avraham Avinu, how did Avraham Avinu become such a massive Talmid Chacham? Every time you look in the Torah, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebe'alpeh, Midrashim, Gemarot, he's always busy with other people. With other people, with Achnasat Orchim and Chesed, and being Mekarev Otam, teaching them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and monotheism, v'chule v'chule. He was busy every second of his life. How was it that he was able to become such a Gadol B'Torah? The Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah that Avraham Avinu kept Eruvei Tavshilin, and his Masechet Avodah Zarah was 400 dapim long. How did he become such an Asif Tamid Chacham if he didn't have time to learn? Says Gaon Chatam Sofer something interesting. He says that when a person dedicates himself to others selflessly, and he gives all of himself to other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the Torah as a gift. To say that Avraham Avinu became what he became because he lived for other people, and he was gifted that Chochmat HaTorah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maran Zechon Olvracha was like that. He lived for other people. Make no mistake, his Amenut B'Torah, the way he poured over and his diligence in Torah was legendary. He would not waste a moment. Everybody knew that. The way he juggled his learning schedule, his public life, his responsibilities to others was unbelievable. But that's something that he always taught his Talmidim, make sure you give to other people, and that will be a segula for you to retain your own Torah. Never think that you will lose out by teaching others. I could be learning on my own on a higher level, so why would I waste my time, quote unquote, teaching others at a lower level? That is a very, very mistaken point of view. That's a very mistaken and wrong perception. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbat Daf Yod, spent a bulk of his day judging Am Yisrael. What about his learning? Rabotai, when a person judges and when a person teaches and when a person gives to other people, that is the epitome. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that and he says, oh, that's the epitome of the Bria. Hashem says, you get the Torah b'matana. If there's anything in this world that made Maran Zechon Olvracha happy besides for Torah, delving in the Torah, which was the only thing in life that made him happy, what made him even happier than that is when he saw other people learning Torah as well, when he saw other people teaching Torah, that gave him such nachat. He was a, you know, this is a really, really, he grew up in a generation that was very, very bare of Torah, mass scale. Most people were not Talmid Chachamim. Most people were workers. A Talmid Chacham of that caliber, you know how he started? I was actually speaking to Rabbi Cohen in Grant Neck today, and I told him that Maran Zichrono Livracha was extremely fond of the Persian community. Did you know that? He loved them tremendously. And some of his biggest Talmidim were from Yotzei Paras. You know why? When he was younger, there were other communities in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh that made his life a little bit difficult, because he had a certain theory about a certain way of his psikah ba'alacha against the Ben Ish Chai. So there were certain communities that made his life difficult. Every single night he would come home from a day of learning, and there were day workers, laborers, you know, people, construction workers, whatever else they did, of Persian Jews. They came from a bunch of different cities, Yazd and, you know, Mashhad and these different places. And they came, and they were anashim pshutim me'od, very, very simple people. And they came to hear him speak every night. They gave him a forum. Do you know what he made of them? He made them gdolim b'torah. But he was always machzik tova to them. He was always so thankful to them. He said, ah, thank you for giving me an opportunity to teach you Torah. He changed their lives. He took them from being simple, regular Yirei Shamayim day workers. He made them b'nei Torah. He made their children gdolei hador. And yet he always had a special heart in his, a special place in his heart for the Persian community. He says, oh, they were my Talmidim. Is that Talmidim Shali? Is it Talmidim Shali? Why? Because they gave him the opportunity to teach Torah. Rabotai, the Adon Milubavitch, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, used to say, a person doesn't need to master the entire Torah in order to teach it to others. If you know Aleph Bit, and your friend knows Aleph, teach him Bit. That's the way it works, Rabotai. Every little bit counts. That's the way of the world. You know, you can tell that this yard site of Maran Zichrono Livracha is different than any other, in that we have to be doing it on this forum. Can't do it, you know, live with so many people and refreshments and brachot and the way it should be, unfortunately. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what he's doing. He sent this nisayon to us, and we have to meet on the Zoom. But you know, I have no doubt in my mind that if Maran Zichrono Livracha was still with us, in spite of the current situation, if you would ask him, you know, what can we do in order to be mamtik, in order to sweeten this gezerah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heaped upon us? Without a doubt, he would say, lilmod ulelamed, lishmor vilasot ulkayim. I don't know if you realize, but every single Jew, at some point or another, is in a pedagogical state. If you're a Rebbe, it goes without saying. If you're a parent, you're a Rebbe. You're a teacher. If you are a friend, you're a Rebbe. Every single person has an opportunity to teach Torah, to go from place to place. And sometimes Maran Zichrono Livracha, you know, only when he got older, we're used to seeing, you know, stadiums packed with tens of thousands of people who would come to hear and drink up every word that Maran Zichrono Livracha would say. Do you know that when he was younger, that wasn't the case? Mikey, you know that. He used to come to shuls, 3, 4, 5 people. For what? What are you kidding? Go be Matir Agunot. What are you going to speak to 3 Baale Batim? No, what are you talking about? I'm not speaking to 3 people. I'm speaking to 3 Jews. 3 Jews, do you know, their children and their children's children, Le Dore Dorot. You speak, you teach one Jew, you're teaching a stadium. Because not him, it's him and his children and his grandchildren, his entire progeny. It wasn't after the Kavod. I remember there was one time where it was in Chodesh Elul, and Maran Zichrono Livracha was after one of those kim'at all-nighters. You know, used to go to give the shiur, and then slichot, and then come home by helicopter. And that was cool. I had to go around by helicopter. But anyway, by the time he gets home, it's 3-4 in the morning. He walks in the door. Hagaon Rabbi Yaakov Sasson was with him at the time also. And the first thing he does is he takes off, he unzips his glima, his robe. He like pulls it off and throws it on the chair. And he sits down to learn. So Rav Sasson asked him, he says, Saba, why are you throwing it off? He says, Rabotai, you know what I'm talking about, his golden robe. which became, you know, world famous, his golden robe. So he told him in Hebrew, he told his grandson, listen to this. He says, Ani lo ohev et zeh. Ze bigdei avoda. You know what that means? It's work clothes. You ever see, lehavdil, let's say you're a mechanic and they have, you know, their clothes and the overalls and the grease and whatever. Maran Zechon Avraha looked at his golden robe. Pe'er ve'adar. You know, he was on top of the world. He looked at it as filthy work clothes. He was the furthest thing from Ga'ava. One time when he was in Mexico, so, you know, especially towards the end of his life, anywhere he went, he was treated with kavod melachim. That we know. And in Mexico, I'm sure you know that there's a sizable Chalabi community. So he was especially close to the Chalabi community also, the Syrian community. You know that his wife was Chalabi. His wife was Syrian. He used to love Syrians. He used to say in the Shiurim, a Mashiach ye Chalabi. Says why? Mashiach is going to be Chalabi. Why? Because Syrians have a food. It's like dolma, but it's called mechshi. It's stuffed, vegetable stuffed with meat. It's called mechshi. Says, a Mashiach ye Chalabi. Mechshi otiot Mashiach. Anyway, bekitzur, aval, but I don't know. I mean, he knew Persians, obviously, but he didn't know the Persian's name Mashiach. So the Mashiach has to be Persian. Anyway, Bukharians do too. Anyway, aval mikol makom. So one time he was in Mexico, and you better believe he had like entourage and limos and cops and all around him. And everywhere he went, people, you know, all the kids came out of school waving flags and singing songs. Wherever he went, mamash kavod melachim. So there was somebody who was accompanying him in Mexico, and he saw him muttering something to himself. He saw him like muttering. And it was going on for a while. So at one point, he decided, like very, you know, very nonchalantly, to put his ear next to Maran's lips to hear what he was saying. So at one point, he caught what he was saying, and it's unbelievable. We wrote it also one time in Halacha Yomit. The person who heard it, Kli Rishon, told it to us, and he said, he heard him saying to himself, Ovadia ata afar va'efir. Amid all of the flags and the songs, Yachid El Dagun, and all the, you know, bells and whistles, he tells himself, Ata Afar Vaifin, relax. He hated everything that had to do with Kavod, but he went through with it because he loved Am Yisrael and believed that he would be more effective at spreading Torah with the Glima than without. People loved him. People adored him because he loved them, because he taught them Torah, because he was Moser Nefesh for them. Time and time again, the stories are endless about his Mesirut Nefesh, his selfless dedication for Am Yisrael, Baklal Uvaprat, in a general form, and specifically also. Rabotai, this is, you know, one of the stories that, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, but I'll say it again, because Agaon Chacham David Yosef said the story at Maran Zichron Berachah's Levaya. I don't have to remind you about the Levaya 7 years ago. I happen to have been at the Levaya. And, you know, it's hard to look back at it. I remember exactly where I was when I got the Besorah. I was in Har Nof. I was, you know, not far from, I used to live right down the block from Maran Zichron Berachah. So, on the day of the Levaya, Gaon Chacham David said the following story. Maran Zichron Avraha, being the, you know, the posek and the dayan that he was entrusted with the sacred task of being matir agunot when women are in safek, when a woman's husband disappears and we're not sure if the husband perished or not. There are certain halachot. It's not very easy to allow her to remarry. It's one of the most difficult aspects of the Torah. It requires expertise, a length and breadth of knowledge that is tremendous in order to be matir agunot. You're talking about eshet ish, you're talking about chiyuve karet, it's no jokes. So one time, Maran Zichron Avraha wasn't feeling well. And they decided, he was with his son Chacham David and with Rav Arya Deri, also very close to him. And they decided to take him to the hospital. And when he went to the hospital, he was having chest pains, whatever, it was in the middle of a shiur, they took him. The doctor said, you're in the middle of a heart attack. So we need to perform a tzintur, which is an emergency angioplasty to open up the artery, the clogged artery to the heart. So he said, okay. Maran Zichron Berachah said, okay. I need you to give me about 2 hours. I'm going to go home and then come back for the angioplasty. So the doctor thought maybe Maran Zichron Berachah was old. He's not understanding. He says, no, Rabbi, you don't understand. You are having heart attack. You. He says, you can't go anywhere. You're having a heart attack. He says, no, I got you. I understand. I'm going to go home, do something, and come back for the procedure. So the doctor said, I can't let you leave. It's against medical protocols, whatever. You're going to have to sign. He said, yeah, bring it on. They brought all the forms. He signed, whatever. They released him. He says, I promise I'll be back in 2 hours. So in the car on the way home, Chacham David was nudging his father and saying, Abba, what are you doing? What's so important? He refused to answer. He says, no, just take me home. He went into his room, closed the door, came out an hour and a half later, as promised, went back to the hospital, and Baruch Hashem successfully underwent the angioplasty. After it was done, Chacham David, again after the procedure, asked him, he says, Abba, now that everything is Baruch Hashem okay, what was so important that you had to go home in the middle of a heart attack from the hospital? She said, I'll tell you. I was in the middle, before I gave the shiur and I started feeling unwell, I was in the middle of writing a psak, a halachic ruling to release a certain aguna from her marriage and allow her to remarry halachically. I was in the middle. I didn't finish yet. I had a little bit more to go. I didn't finish. He said, I was afraid that if I go for the procedure, I'm old and whatever, maybe I wouldn't wake up. Maybe I wouldn't wake up. Maybe I wouldn't make it. And I was afraid that if I didn't make it, I'm not sure who would be able to finish that teshuvah and who would be able to be matir that woman lashuk. Therefore, I said, come what may, whether I make it or not, I'm going home. I'm going to finish the teshuvah, be matir the aguna, and then I'll go back and deal with my heart attack. Rabotai, how many people do you know that put random women who he doesn't even know before himself during a heart attack? That's the kind of person Maran Zichron Berachah was. And if there's anything that we can do to emulate him, to walk in his ways, to perpetuate his legacy, it's obviously dedication to Torah, especially his Torah, dedication to dissemination of his rulings, his shitat halimud, the way to learn, the way to paskin, the way to rule on she'elot, which a person can only become proficient by learning his farim, which Baruch Hashem, I think we all do. I don't think there's a day that goes by without his farim being mentioned, I would say, tens of times. No, Mikey? I don't think there's a day that goes by, especially in Bet Midrash.
At least 10.
En kaze davar. From the greatest geonim to the most simple of the Talmidim. That's where we are, Rabotai. And most of all, to teach Torah to others. To go place to place, from shul to shul, shiur to shiur. How do you think you started? A bunch of ba'alei batim between mincha and arvit. A few halachot over here, a few halachot over there. You don't know. There's a lot of darkness out there. Ki ne'achoshech echase eretz. Va'arafel le'umim. Ve'alayich yizrach Adonai uchvodo alayich yira'e. In order to bring light to the world, right? The Chazon Ish used to say, Chazon Ish alav ha-shalom, choshech lo megarshim im maklot. You don't chase away darkness with sticks. You don't beat darkness with sticks. You want to beat the darkness? Turn on a little flashlight. Even a little flashlight, a little candle goes a long way. Or le'arba'asar bodkin et hachametz le'or ha'ner. 1 week. Why? Chachamim said that's all you need. A little bit of light, when it's very dark outside, goes a long way. Spread the Torah. We're all talmidim of Maran Zichron Berachah. We learn his farim. We disseminate his Torah. We follow his footsteps. That's all he wanted. Be'ezat Hashem, in this way, unfortunately, we can't meet together and we can't have a hilula that is befitting for Maran Zichrono Livracha because of the circumstances. But if everybody just, you know, either tonight or tomorrow sometime, opens up a sefer, you open up Yabi Omer, Yichave Da'at, Chazon Avadiyah, Lichot Olam, Taharat HaBayit, Maor Yisrael, any of his farim, and just learn a little piece of the Torah, you'll see that that will ignite a flame in your neshama. And once that happens, ner le'echad, ner le'me'ah. The same flame can be used 100 times over. Once we light, once we ignite our neshama, there's no telling who we can ignite next. Right? You have chavrach, chavra itle. Everybody's, you have a friend and your friend has a friend. It's a really small world after all. Rabotai, what one man can do, and he was a Ludisha just like us, a man of flesh and blood. When you put your mind to something, you can become the greatest of the great. Never should a person downplay himself. His background, it doesn't really matter. A person can always wake up and start fresh. The poskim say, Ikar shimush talmidei chachamim. The primary aspect of serving talmidei chachamim nowadays and gaining halachic expertise in that manner is by learning this farim. Kach katu. So, Rabotai, we have, you know, Maran Zichrono Livracha is no longer with us, and that void is going to be felt forever. Ad biat gol tzedek. But his farim are, and his talmidim are, and his aura still lives among us, and every Ben Torah Sfaradi in Israel and in America, in Queens and in Great Neck and in Brooklyn, no matter where you are, if you are a Ben Torah, that is thanks to Maran Zichrono Livracha, and we owe him endless hakarat hatov. The Torah world, both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, would not look the way it does today would it not have been for Maran Zichrono Livracha's intervention. Our lives as Torah-abiding Jews would not be the same. Rabotai, this is incumbent upon us to continue his legacy. And if you would ask him, what can we do for you, Zichut? Very easy. He would say, learn the Torah, learn my Torah. He would be so appreciative. Thank you, thank you. Many times, you know, when people would come and say, Dayanim would come and say, who are his Talmidim, and tell him, you know, we can't move without Yabi Omer. Is anava, you put down and say, Toda Rabbah, Toda Rabbah, thank you, thank you. He has to thank them for them learning Yabi Omer. Are you crazy? You know what the world would look like without Yabi Omer? Do you know what Batei Din would look like without Yabi Omer? You can't pass in a shaila today without Yabi Omer. You can't move. Lo yamin velo smol. Aval, he had so much hana'ah. Learn his Torah, teach his Torah. I remember, I'll end off with this story, because this is something that happened personally to me. When I was fairly newly married and we were living in Eretz Yisrael, and I was learning in Chavei Da'at at the time, our eldest daughter was having she wasn't feeling so well, she was having some gastrointestinal issues, and things came to a head, and I asked my friend Rav Sasson, Maran Zichrono Livracha's grandson, to get us in for bracha, to Maran Zichrono Livracha. And whatever, I was working at Halacha Yomit at the time. I'm sure you all know at this point what Halacha Yomit is. It's an internet-based dissemination of the teachings of Maran Chacham Ovadia. You know, we've written thousands, Baruch Hashem, of halachot already. And so he said, okay, come after Shacharit. I went prayed Shacharit. I took my daughter the next morning and I came in. And for some reason, I didn't tell him anything. He asked me, Zoti, he said, is this the child that's not feeling well? I said, yeah, she was a baby at the time. Put his hand on her, gave her a bracha. Miraculously, this is not even the point that I wanted to make in the story, from that day on, she started recovering. She started feeling better. Mamash right after the bracha. But that's not even the point of the story. After he gave her a bracha, I kissed his hand. I got up to leave. And then as I'm walking out, he tells me, Shev bevakasha. As I'm walking out, he tells me, sit down. You know, that's like, I didn't know what was coming. I'm not, you know, I wasn't ready for that. My wife is there. I said, you know, I was not prepared for that. So I sat down. Gedol HaDor tells you, sit down, you sit down. So he looks me in the eye, and he says, I don't remember, Rav Sasson was not there. Rav Tzvi Chakak was there. and this was on video at the time, I remember. He says, Shama'ati she'atem ovdim ba'alacha yomit. He says, I heard that you work in the halacha yomit, ve'atem mefitzim et ha-Torah shelanu. Ani rotze lehodot lachem. Toda rabba she'atem mefitzim et ha-Torah shelanu. La'olam, anashim lomdim t'Torah shelanu. He was so thankful. He says, I appreciate and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for disseminating our Torah. I was looking at him, you know, this is the Gdol Ador in his, you know, he was late 80s at the time, holding my hand. I'm like, what do you even reply to that? You're welcome? What do you say? What do you say to that? That was classic Maran Zichrono Livracha. I told him, obviously, it's my pleasure. Zazichut Shelano. You know, to be able to be mefitz, but he was so appreciative. Rabotai, you want to be a Talmid? Get out and teach his Torah. Learn it well and teach it. Show others the beauty of the Torah. There's many people out there that are not religious, not because they don't want to. It's because they haven't been exposed to the light and the beauty of the Torah. Get out and show them. Ignite their candle. That's all it takes. Choshech lo megarshim imaklot. That's what Maran Zichrono Livracha was all about. Tenish matot tzura v'tzura chayim. I want to take this opportunity before we end. We'll make a hashkava for Maran Zichrono Livracha since we can't all be together. But lefachot, we'll make a hashkava that's reserved for the tzaddikim and gedolei hadar. So if I can ask you just, I'm going to rise. If you can all please rise and join me in the hashkava. והחוכמה מאין תמצא ואיזה מקום בינה אשרי אדם עשה חוכמה ואדם יפיק תבונה אמר אל טובך אשר צפנתם לי ואיך הפעלת אנחנו עושים בך נרד בני אדם יקר חסדך אלוהים ובני אדם בסרם כי נפך יחס היון ירביון מדשן ביתך ונחל אדניך תשקיעם טוב שם משמן טוב ביום המוות מלמדו סוף דבר הכל נשמעת ונמירה את מצפותם שמו כי זה כל האדם יעזו חסדים לכבוד ירננו על משפותם ומנחם על כל בירותיו ויחוס ולחמור מרחם על נפש ונשמה של הנפטר ושמתו מן העולם מרן רבנו עובדיה יוסף בן בורג'יה, שהיום פקודת שנתו, רוח השם תניחנו בגן עדן, הוא וכל בני ישראל השוכבים עמו, בכלל הרחמים והסליחות, וכן יהי רצון ונאמר אמן. רבותיי, לילה טוב, be well, thank you for joining us, I appreciate it, כל טוב, and get out there and learn and teach, that's what it's all about, כל טוב.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.